This tutorial will focus on folders and sends. Now, by default, all tracks send their output directly to the master track. If you encapsulate tracks in a folder, the output of those tracks is sent to the encapsulating folder, and that folder's output is then sent on to the master track. There are two principal benefits of folders. The first is organization. You can group guitar tracks, drum tracks, vocal tracks, etc., etc., thematically, and not only group them together and affect them the same way, similarly to a bus, for example, or a group, or on a mixer, but you can also hide them out of the way if you're not working on them at that time and you want to be scrolling up and down your track list looking at other things. The second benefit of folders is that you can use one instance of an effect to affect multiple tracks. This increases CPU efficiency and saves time because you only need to load one instance of an effect rather than a lot. To create a folder, you should insert a track, making sure it is above the first track to be encapsulated. So let's say you're creating a drum folder. It should be above the first drum track. There should be no items on that track. Then what you can do is you can create a track below the last drum track. And then you can go back up to the top to your track with zero items on it. And you press Shift Enter and it will say folder. And then you go to the track at the bottom and you press Shift Enter until it says end of folder. So this Shift Enter command cycles between the possible modes that a track can exist in: folder, end of folder, or track. If it's a normal track, then it's a normal track. If it's a folder, it's the start of a folder. And that's the important one. If it's the end of a folder, it's just like a bookend. And you could have the last drum track as your end of folder. But if you wanted to put other drum tracks in, you would have to put them in above that end of folder. So then if you adjust the volume of the folder track, you will adjust the volume of effectively all the tracks within that folder. Likewise, the pan, the width, etc., any of the track parameters. And if you add a reverb to that folder track, the track above the first drum track, you will add the same amount of reverb and the same type of reverb to all your drums. The same compression settings, so it's a good way to glue tracks together, glue audio together, the same EQ settings, etc. So a very efficient way to work. You can have subfolders. So if you were going to treat all your vocals the same, you might have lead vocals, you might have backing vocals, you might have male vocals, you might have female vocals, and you could have folders for each of those within your vocal folder, and you can affect these subfolders in the same way. So you can have effects that apply to only one subfolder, you can have effects that apply to all the subfolders by putting the effects on the primary folder. Now you can collapse folders by pressing Enter on the folder track. So it will say small, that changes the amount of space that the track takes up on the screen, or you can say closed and it will close the folder away. You must make sure before you do this that all the subfolders are closed, otherwise they kind of stick out, so you have to close everything in order inwards to outwards. And then you can hide all the tracks away. I worked on a big project recently, a 100-track project, and closing those folders away that contained sub-elements of that project was a real time saver just in terms of scrolling up and down the track list. It was really nice to be able to go from track 20 to track 50 in the touch of a button. Now, bear in mind, if you delete your folder track, you will also delete all the contents of that folder in terms of your tracks. So that's something important to bear in mind. Also bear in mind, if you want to select multiple tracks, if one of those tracks is a folder track, so let's say you want to increase the volume of all your drum tracks or certain drum tracks individually. If you increase a folder track, you run the volume of a folder track as part of that track selection, you run the risk of applying your volume increase twice. This is a better example. Let's say you're looking at the volume on your master track and everything is kind of low and you want to turn everything up. If you were just to open Ray Console, for example, press Alt-C and press V space 6, increase all the tracks in my project by 6 dB, that means, V star space 6, increase all the tracks in my project by 6 dB. What that's going to do is it's going to increase all the tracks in your project by 6 dB. Now, the thing is, when you increase a folder track by 6 dB, you increase the output from all the tracks, which you've also increased by 6 dB, by 6 dB. So the net increase for a lot of your tracks will be 12 dB. So that's something to watch. Now let's talk about sends. Sends afford you greater flexibility than folders, and they don't have to involve contiguous tracks. It is possible by highlighting a track and pressing I to create a send / receive relationship, what is sometimes called in mixing terms an aux send relationship between it and another track. Now, from this routing dialog, it is possible to create either a receive, that is, that the output of one track will be routed to the track that you've highlighted. It's possible to create a receive relationship, or it is possible to create a send relationship, i.e. the output of the highlighted track will be routed somewhere else. And in practice, they mean the same thing. They're two sides of the same coin. And whether you create your relationships in terms of adding receives or adding sends, it doesn't really matter. It achieves the same thing. Where I think it's perhaps more time efficient to add sends rather than receives is if you also want to disable the master parent send for the track which you're creating a send from. So let's come up with a practical example. Let's say you want to send two tracks to a vocoding track. That's one way to do it. You can either have two tracks, one with a vocoder on it, or you can have three tracks, two being the carrier and the modulator with a vocoder, the third being the track with the vocoder on it. Now, in such a circumstance, you would only want to hear the vocoded output. You would only want to hear your talking piano or your singing bell or whatever it is. So you would disable the master parent send for the, let's say it's a piano and a voice, you would disable the master parent send for both of those tracks so that only the vocoded output came through. In that example, to me, it makes most sense to go to the piano and the singing tracks and to create sends from them to the vocoding track, because while you're there, while you're in that routing dialogue, you can disable the master parent send. But it, you know, in terms of establishing that send-receive relationship, it doesn't make any difference what you do. So if you were, for example, and I do this often in audio drama contexts, sending all my tracks to a reverb track, to a track where I want everything to sound like it's in the same space. I want everything to sound like it's in a concert hall, for example. I would create a track with no items on it, and I would add my reverb to it, and then I would open the routing dialog for it, and I would go to the add receive combo box, and I would add all the tracks that I wanted to be reverberated. Now, there's an important thing to realize about this. If you just cursor down through the tracks in that combo box, if you're not quick enough, it's going to automatically add sends or receives for you so that you can take your time making sure that you connect the appropriate tracks. It can be better to press Alt cursor down to actually expand the combo box, and then you can press Enter when you're absolutely confident that you have indeed found the right track to connect. When you send a bunch of tracks to a reverb or a delay, you could argue, well, that's just like putting them in a folder and sticking a reverb or a delay on the folder track, isn't it? No, because the crucial difference is that once you have created this relationship, after the add send combo box or after the add receive combo box, you are going to find a send to track or a receive from track button. This is the place where you can confirm that a connection between tracks has actually been established. Let's say you're on the reverb track, you're going to find a receive from track this button. You're going to tab through some configuration parameters and you're going to find a receive from track Y button, a receive from track Z button. First thing to note, if you click that button, any of those buttons, using NVDA numpad enter, you're going to delete the send. That's the way to delete the send. Second thing to note is the edit box directly after that button is the corresponding send volume. So this doesn't increase the volume of the track that's being sent to the reverb track. And it doesn't increase the volume of the reverb track itself. It increases the volume at which the audio is sent from the audio track to the track with the reverb on it. What's the benefit of this? The benefit of this is that by increasing the send volume of a track to the reverb track by, let's say, 6 dB, you are going to make that element, that piece of audio, sound more reverberant than other tracks whose send volumes you have not increased. Likewise, there may be certain sounds, let's say you're doing an audio drama, which you want the audience to be able to hear, but in reality would be so quiet that they wouldn't really cause that much reverberation. So you may wish to decrease the send volume from those tracks to the reverb track so that they don't sound as reverberant and so that realism is preserved. Now, it's usual, by the way, when you put delays and reverbs on tracks that are receiving audio from other tracks, it's usual to have those delays and those reverbs set at 100% wet, because if you so choose, the dry audio will come from the source tracks themselves. So you will have, let's say, a cigarette lighter. Man is standing in a concert hall, he's going to light a cigarette. The cigarette lighter will be on its track and the reverb for the concert hall will be on the receiving track. So you'll have the dry, unreverbed sound of the cigarette lighter on the one track and you'll have the 100% wet, reverberated sound on the reverb track. And the proportions of those two will be what the listener hears. And so you will be able to make a determination, the audience will be able to make a determination about how close that cigarette lighter is to us by the ratio of direct and reverberated sound. Now, it's possible to create pre-effect sends. And what this means is that you might have effects on your cigarette lighter. You might have other effects on there. And what this would mean is that the audio from the cigarette lighter track would be sent to the reverberated track before any of the track effects on the cigarette lighter track were applied. And there's various circumstances in which that can be useful. You can also have pre-fader, but post-effects sends. So the effects on the cigarette lighter track will be added. But if you change the volume or the pan of the cigarette lighter track, the reverb will be unaffected. So if you pan the cigarette lighter all the way to the left, but you're working on a pre-fader send, the cigarette lighter reverb will still receive a centered signal. And particularly if you're working with what's called dual mono reverbs, reverbs that aren't true stereo, reverbs that if you feed them a signal that's only in one channel, they will only reverb on that channel, which isn't very realistic. If you're dealing with those kind of reverbs, this kind of send-receive relationship is very useful to establish. Now, this is tutorial number 10, I believe. We're getting into quite advanced conceptual stuff now. A lot of people get confused with sends and how they work and when to create which type of send. I believe we covered this in the recordings, so check back those recordings if you don't understand something. don't hesitate to get in touch. But that is the essence of send-receive relationships. They are like folders, but more flexible. That's the crucial takeaway. They are like folders, but more flexible because you can apply different amounts of effects to different tracks. But the folders have this key organizational decluttering purpose. And they're just really fast and really convenient and really easy to set up. And I definitely recommend, for all kinds of reasons, that you organize larger projects in particular on a folder by folder basis. So I hope this was useful. Happy foldering and happy routing.